and welcome to Native Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. We continue to celebrate Women's History Month throughout March with our first upcoming story, Iditarod 2026, A Musher on a Mission, from ICT News. It's 60 below on February 11th, Eagle Village, Alaska, and Jody Potts-Joseph is sewing a pair of mukluks for Jesse Holmes, a good friend and co-competitor in the 2026 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. Later, she and her husband, Jamie, will care for the 29 dogs in their kennel. Then she'll spend time on other business near and dear to her, the Hunwichen Village Corporation, of which she is president, and Doi Unlimited, a regional Alaska Native corporation of which she is a director. She might talk with the Alaska Wilderness League about the next steps in the fight to save the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, and then check in with the program she founded to connect young Indigenous Alaskans to the land through snowboarding. Finally, she might call the North Face Explore Fund Council and the team working on the film she's producing, Beautiful Resistance. She doesn't sleep much. "One of the things I tell my family is, I'll rest when I'm dead," said Potts-Joseph. "I wish I didn't have to sleep. There's more I want to do." The former star of Nat Geo's Life Below Zero, First Alaskans, is a musher with a mission: to bolster interest in mushing among young Indigenous Alaskans and call attention to the environmental changes that are affecting traditional lifeways. Potts-Joseph is one of 36 mushers competing in this year's Iditarod, a 975-mile race over a steep mountain pass, windswept interior plains, frozen rivers, and the icy Barren Sea coast to Nome. The ceremonial start takes place on March 7th in Anchorage, followed by the official restart in Willow the next day. Mushers and dog teams this year hail from 5 countries and 4 U.S. states. The field is a formidable one. 12 mushers and teams are past top 5 finishers, and 3 of those are past champions: Jesse Holmes of Brushkana, Alaska, 2025, Ryan Reddington of Nick, Alaska, 2023, and Thomas Warner of Torpa, Norway, 2020. 3 mushers are Indigenous Alaskans: Kevin Hansen, Inupiaq; Reddington, Inupiaq; and Potts-Joseph. Another, Jesse Terry, Anishinaabe, is Indigenous from Canada. Mushers and teams have tested their mettle in several races since the 2025 Iditarod. Holmes and his team, also familiar to fans of the Nat Geo reality TV show Life Below Zero, are on a winning streak. After winning the Iditarod in March 2025, they went on to win a 3rd consecutive Kobuk 440 title the following month. In January, they won their 2nd consecutive Copper Basin 300. Reddington and his team finished 5th in the Kusselquim 300 in January. Hansen, an Iditarod rookie, and his team finished 2nd in the Kobuk 440 in April 2025 and 2nd in the Nick 200 in January. Iditarod veteran Josie Shelley and her team won the 750-mile Yukon Quest Alaska, the last great challenge before the Iditarod, on February 16th. Potts-Joseph and her dogs proved in 2025 to be a team to watch. They placed 2nd in the Yukon Quest 200, and Potts-Joseph won the race's Vet's Choice Award for outstanding dog care on the trail. They also came in 2nd in the 185-mile Percy DeWolf Memorial Mail Race and 7th in the Kobuk 440. "I have incredible dogs," Potts-Joseph said. "They're really awesome, special in their own way, and they all have their strengths. They're all bush dogs, and I would say they're pretty tough and pretty happy. We definitely have a really strong bond." The Iditarod begins with a ceremonial start on Saturday, March 7th, with the official start to the race on Sunday, March 8th. Cultural preservation. as she and her team prepare to compete in the Iditarod, North America's premier long-distance sled dog race, winning isn't on her radar. To her, this is about cultural preservation. The first peoples of this land traveled with dogs and dog sleds since time immemorial. The dog sled is to Alaska Native cultures what the canoe is to indigenous peoples of the Northwest Coast, and the horse is to indigenous people of the plains. Snow machines began replacing sled dogs as the primary mode of transportation in Bush, Alaska in the 1950s, dimming a part of indigenous culture. The late Joe Reddington, 1917 to 1999, saw the transition and founded the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race in 1973 to keep the Alaskan dog mushing tradition alive. A big part of it for me is helping keep this part of our culture alive, that connection to the land and our ancestors, Potts Joseph told ICT, of mushing with her dog team. There are so few native mushers anymore, she said. It's thriving down in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, which is really awesome. But there haven't been any native people running dogs out here in my homelands in decades. Mushing is, I feel like, just so on the verge of being gone altogether. Other indigenous lifeways are under threat as well. Alaska Natives are experiencing rapid lifestyle shifts driven by climate change. Permafrost is thawing, and sea ice is shifting, affecting subsistence fishing, foraging, and hunting. The Yukon River salmon fishery is experiencing a severe multi-year decline, with record low returns of Chinook and fall chum salmon since 2020. A moratorium on fishing for Yukon River Chinook salmon is in place in Alaska and Canada, creating a food security crisis for indigenous communities who rely on salmon for subsistence and cultural purposes. We haven't been able to fish for salmon on the Yukon River for 6 years now, Potts Joseph said, and we're facing many more years of not fishing. The salmon is a critical part of the circle of life here. Bears fish for salmon and leave the salmon carcasses on the land. Those carcasses are further consumed by wolves, who carry the carcasses to the safety of nearby trees. Nutrients from those salmon remains are absorbed into the soil and tree roots. Plentiful salmon years can be determined by the size of a tree's ring, according to the Ring Coast Conservation Society. Alaska sled dogs ate and enjoyed the health benefits of salmon, too. The omega-3 fatty acids in salmon made the Alaska sled dog suited for tasks, travel and weather, in the interior, good skin and coat health, strong joints, enhanced cognitive function, a bolstered immune system, and heart health. We fed salmon to our dogs when I was growing up, Potts Joseph said. We didn't need to buy kibble. It was a very sustainable way of living on the land and a sustainable way of transportation. It's a lot harder, especially on the Yukon River, to maintain a dog team without the salmon. Like coming home. Alaska Native mushers and their teams traverse ancestral routes in the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race, often accompanied by the Northern Lights. The Northern Lights have spiritual significance to Alaska Native peoples. I think a lot about my grandpa because I'm mushing on trails that my ancestors established and set up thousands of years ago, Potts Joseph said. My husband and I have reopened a lot of old trails that my grandpa put in back in the mountains for his trap line. That is really special. So yes, this is a lot about cultural preservation. All of us as Native people hold a lot of pride in who we are, and we're still here. Our people, when we had a big village gathering before a family arrived from a trap line or from another village for a community gathering, they would put their best gear on themselves and their dogs, Pot Joseph said. And so I'm really excited that my dogs will wear these beautiful beaded dog blankets for the start and finish of the Iditarod. I think mushing instills a lot of pride in our people, Potts Joseph said, In our community, so many people share their stories with me. I can see this little sparkle in people's eyes when they talk about growing up with dogs and old Indian tricks about mushing and dogs. There's still a lot of great traditional knowledge out there, and I love connecting with elders. They give me advice and tips and pointers, and I really appreciate that. I love the conversations in the villages. Alaska Native culture is reflected in some of the special awards given during the Iditarod. The first musher into McGrath, mile 311, receives bear fur musher's mittens with Athabascan beadwork on moose hide, handcrafted by Loretta Maiele, and a beaver fur hat made by Rosalie Egress. Both are Athabascan. The first musher into Caltag, mile 714, receives a check for $2,000 and 25 pounds of salmon from the Bristol Bay Native Corporation. Northern Air Cargo presents the Herbie Neopuck Memorial Award, $1,049 and a flight jacket, to the musher chosen by checkpoint volunteers as best epitomizing Neopuck's spirit of mushing the Iditarod. The check represents the roughly 1,000 miles of the race and Alaska's status as the 49th state. The land demands respect. Alaska is as unpredictable as it is breathtakingly beautiful. Alaska comprises 665,384 square miles, roughly 17.5% of the total U.S. land area, with cold desert tundra, vast boreal forests and wetlands, temperate coastal rainforests, and rugged mountainous terrain. Mushers often expect the unexpected. Jeff King was within about 20 miles from the finish line and his fifth Iditarod championship in 2014 when he and his dogs lost the trail in a blizzard and had to call for help. He dropped out, as is required when summoning help. Nick Petit had a five-hour advantage over the field in 2019, but was forced to drop out when his dog team was spooked and refused to cross a section of the Bering Sea ice near Koyuk, 130 miles from the finish line in Nome. The land deserves respect. The land deserves respect, Potts Joseph said. You just have to know that there's going to be a lot of things that are out of your control, and you've got to try to make smart decisions. And sometimes you end up making all the right decisions, and you still end up in a freak storm like that. She added, I'm interior Athabascan through and through, and this is my country. I know this land. But once I get out to the coast, I feel like I'm in a much different place, in a foreign land. So I definitely have a great deal of respect for those places. And you know, you can't let fear control you. I have to go out there and just take what comes and do the best that I can for my dogs. You're listening to Native Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. Our next story comes from ICT News, Indigenous Film Festival coming to Fargo. Fargo, the Northern Plains Indigenous Film Festival debuts April 17 at the historic Fargo Theater in Fargo, North Dakota, establishing a new home for Indigenous cinema in the Northern Plains and Greater Midwest. Founded to create a platform for Indigenous storytelling through film, the festival centers contemporary Indigenous stories while bringing filmmakers, audiences, and creative professionals into the same room. The two-day event will feature Indigenous-made narrative, documentary, and short films, filmmaker conversations, and programming designed to help Indigenous creatives build sustainable careers. While Indigenous film festivals exist across the country, few are rooted in the Northern Plains. The festival was created to fill that gap, offering a space where Indigenous filmmakers can share work grounded in the cultures, histories, and lived experiences of this region, while also welcoming national and international perspectives. Film is one of the most powerful tools Indigenous people have for telling their own stories, said Joseph Williams, Sisseton Wahpeton Oyete, co-founder and festival co-director. This festival is about visibility, access, and building a sustainable platform and network for Native filmmakers in the Midwest and Northern Plains. Anna Johnson, Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa, and also festival co-founder and co-director, said it was a natural fit for the event to be held in Fargo. Native art is part of Fargo's identity, she said. We aren't a subcategory. We're part of what makes this city what it is. Screenings and filmmaker panel discussions will be held at the Fargo Theater, while additional programming will be held at North Dakota State University in Berry Hall, including filmmaker workshops led by Ben West and Yancey Burns, Arena Flying Coyote Collective, Jennifer Martell, and presentation by Lisa Black, author of Picturing Indians, focusing on craft, community-centered storytelling, and sustaining creative careers. Film submissions are being accepted through March 30th. More information on the festival can be found at northernplainsfestival.com. Up next, a river worth defending. Chilkat community mobilizes against mine. By Native News Online staff. Last Tuesday, Chilkat Forever delivered a powerful message to the Haines Assembly. Nearly 300 Chilkat Valley residents have signed letters opposing the proposed Palmer Project, calling for long-term protection for the Chilkat River. The letters urge the Assembly to keep the Chilkat River free of acid-generating mines and full of fish forever. The delivery marks a significant moment in the growing local resistance to the Palmer Project, a proposed mining operation in the upper reaches of the Chilkat watershed. For many residents, the issue is not only environmental, but deeply cultural and economic. The Chilkat River supports world-renowned salmon runs, sustains subsistence harvests, and underpins tourism and commercial fishing industries that define life in the valley. I have asked Chilkat Valley residents to join Clukwan in our canoe and to help us paddle, to help us defend the Chilkat River and the way of life and place we all love, said Jones Hotch Jr., Chilkat Indian Village Vice President. It is heartening how many of our neighbors have heard our call and joined us in defending the place we all call home. To those of you who have already joined us, thank you. To those who haven't yet, we welcome you in our canoe. Hotch's remarks highlight the leadership role of Clukwan and the Chilkat Indian Village in organizing opposition. The canoe metaphor reflects a shared responsibility, protecting the river in a collective effort that depends on broad community participation. The Tlingit word, meaning thank you, underscores the cultural roots of the movement. Community organizers Rose Fudge of Chilkat Forever emphasized the continuity of local connection to the land despite changes in corporate ownership of the project. Last year, the Palmer Project was owned by one Canadian mining corporation. This year, it's another. What's a constant is this place and the way those of us who live here are connected to it, Fudge said. We call on the Haines Assembly to ensure our communities, economies, values, and way of life are protected and prioritized. Up next, Indigenous artist Donita Large speaks out after AI-generated image replaces her likeness in news coverage. By Levi Rickert from Native News Online. On February 10, 2026, a news article written and published online to promote her new album, The Ancestors, used an AI-generated image of an Indigenous woman in place of Donita's actual likeness, with no disclosure, no correction, and no clarification that the image was not her. The image, generated by artificial intelligence, depicted what appears to be an Indigenous woman with beaded earrings, long black hair, notably darker skin tones than Donita's own. Additionally, in the background, a transparent female figure stands looking off in the distance, wearing a beaded headpiece and other pan-Indigenous culturally constructed accessories. Directly on the top corner, identifying Donita Large by name in a news context. It was not labeled as illustrative, not identified as AI-generated, and not accompanied by any statement clarifying that the woman depicted was not Donita Large. In any reasonable reading of journalistic standards, this is disinformation. In the context of Indigenous representation in Canada in 2026, it is also a serious act of racial harm. Statement from Danita Large. The image of the indigenous woman posted on the website is not me. The title connecting to the image states Danita Large releases the new album, The Ancestors, which makes this misleading. False visual information, including AI-generated images, can spread disinformation and cause personal harm. There is no public clarification that the image is AI-generated by the news service and is not me. And this is a news article. This false image is therefore presented as fact. Considering why creating an image with an indigenous woman who has darker skin tones than myself would be inappropriate and problematic, an act of creating a visual stereotype of what indigenous people should look like. There is also an image of a woman in the background dressed in some type of traditional wear, including a beaded headpiece with the extension of lighting in what seems to depict headdress imagery around her head. This is not authentic and would be perceived as a westernized concept of an aesthetic costume and the default imagery of indigenous people as propagated by Hollywood tokenism of indigenous life. By adding these two images together, it creates a false narrative of indigeneity constructed from AI stereotypes, not truth. Instead of being able to celebrate the sharing of my new album in the news, I am now dealing with increased distress on the choice to use this image to depict my story, my album, and myself as an Indigenous artist. Canada is in a period of profound reckoning with the legacy of colonial misrepresentation of Indigenous people. The TRC calls to action ongoing national conversations about Indigenous rights, land, sovereignty, and cultural dignity, and the continued work of Indigenous artists to reclaim their own narratives on their own terms. All of this is the living context in which the image was published. It was not published in a vacuum. It lands in a country still working to understand the depth of harm that visual stereotyping and the erasures of authentic Indigenous identity has caused and continues to cause. The specific harms in this case are multiple and layered. First, an actual named living Indigenous artist was replaced, without her knowledge or consent, by an AI-generated fabrication. Her face, her identity, her body were deemed unnecessary. An algorithm's idea of what an Indigenous woman looks like was substituted in her place. Second, the algorithm in itself is a product of centuries of colonial imagery, dark skin, cultural costuming, drawn directly from visual language of Hollywood stereotypes, museum dioramas, and the long history of non-Indigenous people deciding what Indigenous people should look like for the comfort and consumption of non-Indigenous audiences. Third, it was published in a news article, not a creative context, presented as truth, not as illustration. This is not a minor error of photo selection. It is a publication that, in 2026, looked at the name of a real living Cree woman and chose, whether through carelessness, ignorance, or indifference, to illustrate her story with a fabricated racial stereotype rather than her actual image. And it was not corrected in the record. Danita Large has spent her career building a body of work that is rooted in truth, in real stories of her community, in real wisdom of her ancestors, in the real complexity of what it means to be an Indigenous woman in Canada today. The Ancestors is an album about memory, healing, and strength, a record created in the spirit of cultural honesty and artistic integrity. To have the work introduced to new audiences through a fabricated, stereotypical image is not simply an embarrassment, it is an act that undermines the very purpose of the album and causes Danita real, documented, personal distress. This incident did not happen in isolation. It is part of a pattern, the same pattern that always decides Indigenous people's stories can be told without them, their faces replaced by whatever image is most convenient, their identities rendered interchangeable. The technology is new, but the harm is not. Danita Large is a Cree singer-songwriter from the Saddle Lake First Nation based in Edmonton, AB. Her music, which she describes as folk with Indigenous sizzle, spans folk, blues, rock, and Cree traditional sounds. Her new album, The Ancestors, was co-produced, in collaboration with Grammy-winning producer Chris Burkitt, Anthony King, and Donita Large, and recorded across studios in Toronto, Los Angeles, and Edmonton. Donita is one of the most powerful Indigenous voices in contemporary Canadian music, and the album lands as a profound cultural statement and a landmark in the Canadian musical canon. In our final story, Navajo Nation Gaming Enterprise marks Problem Gambling Awareness Month with $3.4 million in support by Native News Online staff. March is Problem Gambling Awareness Month, and the Navajo Nation Gaming Enterprise, NNGE, is working to raise awareness about problem gambling across the Navajo Nation. Efforts include sharing information about responsible gambling education, prevention, treatment, and wellness programs. In support of those initiatives and in compliance with the New Mexico and Arizona Compact requirements, NNGE has contributed more than $3.4 million to address problem gaming. Additional support includes donations from unclaimed and forfeited jackpots to nonprofit organizations in both states. NNGE's commitment extends across all of its properties through required employee training, visible problem gambling helpline messaging, and the establishment of an NNGE oversight committee and periodic program assessment and evaluations. For most individuals, gaming is a social or recreational activity that is fun and entertaining. For others, gaming can cause problems that adversely impact an individual's life, said Quincy Nate, NNGE board chairman. Being able to refer those struggling with gambling addiction to proper resources who are trained to help is the right thing to do. Funds provided by NNGE help organizations increase public awareness about compulsive gambling and expand treatment and prevention services for problem gamblers, their families, and vulnerable youth. NNGE has implemented mandatory employee training to help staff recognize and respond to individuals who may need assistance. Gaming properties also prominently display information about the signs of problem gambling and where to seek help, while public awareness efforts extend through media and advertising outreach. Problem gaming can develop in anyone and does not discriminate based on gender, age, social, ethnic, or economic groups, Nate added. If you are concerned about your own gaming or the gaming of someone you care about, please contact the New Mexico Council on Problem Gambling for assistance. You've been listening to Native Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. Music is Land Back by Hallucination. Remember, you can always hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Please join us for an upcoming episode.